You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 3rd of May. Tomorrow is our first birthday. We'll be live streaming the show on MoneyWeb website, moneyweb.co.za, from 6:30. And I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kuntz, I want to dig into some of those April returns. US flying, resi still on track, banks still going nowhere. And then Keelan and Gluvel from Stanlib, the office market in South Africa. What and where is its future? He's pulled some great stats for us. A poll from Friday, both on the LinkedIn and the Twitter account. We're asking you, big tobacco, still an investment option even as regulations clamp down? 57% said yes, profits will still flow. 13% said they're doomed, and 30% never liked the sector. I think they're in a tough space, but I mean, at this point, as Chantal was saying on Friday, they're managing it. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb: lots of no votes at Steinhoff AGM. In fact, mostly no votes. Only 13.5% of shareholders attended, but they were not happy. Much did not get passed. In Business Day, Berkshire Hathaway's cash pile grows as Warren Buffett slows share buyback activity. They got just over $145 billion, but they say fair priced acquisitions in short supply. Morning markets Friday, US was red, S&P down 0.7 and Nasdaq off 0.9%. Asia mixed, we got Sydney up almost 0.1 while Tokyo is down 0.8%. Commodities also mixed overnight: gold 1774, rand 1450. Top 40 looking for a red open, about 180 points or 0.3% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kuntz, portfolio manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, morning. Appreciate your time. Well, it was mentioning sort of April returns. The first quarter was fairly good for SA stocks, less so for the US. April, bit of a reversal there, but certainly if we look across the ocean first, I mean, Standard & Poor's 500, NASDAQ, I mean, they are back to the races and had a really strong April. I mean, Buffett was saying over the weekend that, you know, the US economy is just rocking on all cylinders, and evidence is, yes, it is.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Absolutely right. Well, at one point, as you said, S&P 500 looked a little bit toppy just before the earnings season had started. We have this talk of people doing that sort of reflation trade and back, also back into Europe. But the earnings season has told us this is the third week in. If anything, big tech is here. I saw a wonderful piece on the earnings call from Smangela from Microsoft, saying like they're seeing this tech sort of migration, if anything, accelerating even after they're opening up the economy. So big tech back with a massive, the big apples, they're still pushing us higher. And yes, it certainly might be a little bit premature to do this sell in May, as we say, Simon.
Of course, I forgot about this sell in May. Mm. Yeah, it rhymes and trading, I don't know, they work for me. I mean, if we bring it local, it was very much, I mean, the mid-cap, which is our sort of SA Inc., had a decent month. Property, yes, but property is property. But the resources index, I mean, that kind of, to a fair degree, is where we're seeing activity in our market.
Yeah, you're right. In fact, just before the show started, I just ran some numbers on my Reuters screen just to see where we are. So for over the last month, the month of April, funny enough, property, the smaller cap property shares, the outperformance. We had Vukile up 29% for the month of April. We had Investec, that was a big bounce back, 28%. Arrowhead, 26%. Zeta up 15%. All these sort of small caps, Simon, so kind of sneaking out of nowhere and really looking strong. Long for Life also 17% winner for the month of April. And then finally, I've got on the bottom here, Sasol. I mean, a tough month for Sasol, only up 9%. And that kind of sums up the market that we're in.
I mean, these are sort of returns that if we get on an annualized basis, we're chuffed with. But those commodities remain strong. I mean, you know, palladium just below 3,000. Iron ore rocking. Copper just below 10,000.
I'm unbiasedly a commodities bull. I think this everywhere I read, and if we look at the broader market, I mean, you know, think about the stuff we probably had this morning in our breakfast or on our sort of breakfast table.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Arabica coffee futures 33% up this year. Raw sugar up 20%. Milk futures, Simon, believe it or not, they do trade. Milk futures will limit up at one point this year. So, I mean, the soft commodity space as well, also absolutely rocketing. So, yeah, we all sit in South Africa very concerned. You know, obviously, we focused on more the plats and palladiums, as you said. Rhodium as well, very, very strong.
Yep.
But for me, commodity market across the board has been extremely out the block. So I don't know when it's going to stop just yet.
I mean, the sort of the preciouses and the industrials, this makes sense to me. The spending to infrastructure, you know, China just, you know, sucking in iron ore and their spat with Australia. Vale can't increase production. That I understand. The softs, I got to say, has got me scratching my head.
Exactly. So you're right. I mean, the industrial metal space, as you said, it's actually like fairly simple, stupid math. So we know there's a huge supply deficit for palladium, according to Jefferson Massey. That's for next year. We know there's a shortage of copper. LME warehouses have been said that they are running low. That I get. Biden talking about building 6,000 bridges. We know we need rolled steel and iron ore for that. Understand that. But yeah, something like another one. I saw cheese futures. Yes, they do trade cheese futures. Limit up. Lumber. Lumber's gone from $200 a year ago, Simon, to almost break $1,000 in what they use as a metric. It's like a train carriage full of lumber is what their contract size is. When that thing's up 400-500%, and all intents and purposes, there's no shortage of houses in America. So you're right. This is a difficult one for me to understand. And I guess what concerns me in that space, and I guess all of us, at some point, you know, there's a limit to how much margin that these the retailers can basically absorb. And these high prices of soft commodities are probably going to find their way onto the inflation basket at some point.
Yeah, and then, of course, that then brings the specter of interest rates. Mm-hmm. So I think that's maybe down
Agreed.
The road. But in a sense, we got that bounce just over a year ago, and that was, you know, when we kind of thought, well, okay, this pandemic's bad, but maybe not the end of the world. And now we really are just getting that second bounce, which is the reopen and the response to it. And it is sort of, it's a 1-2, I mean, if you're a bear, it's a sucker punch. If you're a bull, it's a 1-2 thing of glory.
It is, and it's like my one sort of trading sort of old boy in the markets telling me like that this has just risen too fast too soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much further can it rise? And stocks, if you're a value investor, we're seeing the rotation back to value. But as you said in the intro, S&P futures looking at S&P market is not cheap at the moment. But you know, you look at what the central banks are doing. You look at Mr. Jay Powell, who doesn't seem to blink at these press conferences anymore, stares straight at the camera and says, we're keeping rates as low as possible for longer. Bond purchases are continuing. In the same breath, he says, well, you know, I'm a little bit concerned, but unemployment's at you know, inflation's no way to be seen. Unemployment's at 6%. I mean, how can you keep interest rates on one side? You've got one of the fastest growing economies. They're talking about the GDP growing at close to 6% for 2022 in America. Extraordinary numbers for 2021. But in the same breath, you've got interest rates at close to zero. But in that environment, I mean, there's only one place to be, just long stocks. It's a sweet spot. For now, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, don't fight it. It's be long stocks. And you talk about the old boys. I remember 2006 when our market did plus 40% in a year. So, I mean, I'm truthfully hoping for another one of those because I'm done.
Yeah,
long
all share up where we're in. All share not even close to that. So there might have further to run. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, still lots of time. The year's still young. We've got winter to get out of the way. Nick Kuntz, Portfolio Manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth. But with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Keelan Ndlovu. He's head of listed Property at Stanlib. He is my go-to property guru. Gillian, I appreciate your early morning time. You sent a great note out towards the end of last week, focusing particularly on office in the local REIT space and the listed space. And what struck me with it was your first point, which is, firstly, it's relatively big in terms of percentage and also quite spread out amongst the various different REITs. It's possible to avoid office, but frankly, not very easy.
Good morning, Simon. Yeah, it's a tough one, given that the office market makes up about 21% of the all property index. So I guess it's important to highlight as well that this sector is exposed to retail and industrial and a bit of residential. Mm-hmm. But the office market is fairly sizable. And as we all know, I've been working from home for the last 13 months, more than a year, having stepped back into the offices, and most people haven't, so we're watching that space.
And some of this office is also offshore. I mean, it you know, if I'm correct, there is some, am I right, in Europe, but it is predominantly SA office in that 21%.
That's right, yeah. So South Africa makes up more than half of that. And then we do have some office space in Eastern Europe, Poland, as well as in Australia, and a little bit in the UK. The majority is in South Africa.
Yeah, and I'd forgotten about that Australia component there. So we've got lots of office there. The question then is the vacancies, and the data you sent was, I mean, obviously vacancies, I mean, if we step back, the office sector was under some pressure, or certainly the property REIT space ahead of the pandemic. Vacancies during the pandemic obviously spiked. I mean, we saw that happening. But that trend, I mean, you've got some data even up to December, the trend still seems to be vacancies sort of increasing rather than starting to decline.
Sure. So that's the trend. I think for the next year to two, we'd like to see vacancies go up, probably sitting about 15% at the current levels, according to estimates, and more likely to go to beyond 20%. That's likely to be driven by, as leases expire, you'll see corporates take less space. Mm-hmm. And then some of the smaller tenants will just say that, no, I don't need the space. And you can't keep forcing a smaller tenant to keep operating and just let them go as well. There's been some of those instances where the landlord have done that. But the challenge is the big space that comes up every year for renewal.
Yeah, and the trick with those big spaces, I mean, if you're a large corporate and you've got, I don't know, X thousand square meters, that renewal negotiation is you're probably going to want a lot more either flexibility or just out and out. You're going to say, actually, I want less space going forward. So it's those renewal processes and then not much new tenants, I imagine, coming in. Because as you say, I mean, people aren't back at the office yet.
Sure. So the other one is, well, in terms of the number that we don't have, is the amount of space that's available or being sublet. So you see that big corporates have so much space and don't need it, but you don't have it in the official numbers. So that also adds pressure to the vacancies as well as the rentals. So you talk about flexibility. So we'd like to see more of that going forward, where it allows companies to contract the size of the operations when they need to or expand when they need to, as opposed to being tied to long leases of 10 years with big space that you can't exit. Because right now, you're committed to the lease. It's a legal requirement that you have to keep paying that. Mm-hmm. But going forward, you will see less of that here.
And lease durations, you would use Growthpoint as an example. I mean, the durations are about 3.8 years, which certainly, you know, it gives the landlords some sort of wriggle room. It means some of those negotiations are happening today, but some of them are a couple of years away. Is that probably the standard in the industry where leases are the durations are currently sort of plus 3 years?
Yeah, I'll say so in office market. You'll probably say between 2.5 years to 4 years, depending on the company. Mm-hmm. But as we look at the market as well, the market is always forward-looking. So you don't wait for the year or the month the lease expires. You tend to look a year out. So the negotiations start earlier. Because companies have to make a decision. It takes a year so for you to actually manage your operations, move out, your tech and the IT costs as well. So you tend to look forward by more than a year. So I'll probably say in the next 2 years, you watch out for most of the big expiries coming through.
And what we used to, I remember, I mean, there was a point a couple of years ago where, you know, the Sandton skyline was just cranes. There was just massive development happening. Are we still seeing that sort of level of development of new properties coming into the market, or has that perhaps slowed a bit?
Luckily, there's no new development coming up. It's quite tiny. Look at the overall amount of development coming up in South Africa. It's now less than 1% of total office space in South Africa. Whereas in the good times, that number is very high. Actually, probably about almost 7-8% of total space.
Wow.
So what you see now coming up is basically a building that we started before COVID-19.
Yeah.
Once you start building, you can't stop. So you have to finish the building as well. So there's not much coming up in terms of new supply, which is a positive.
Have you, I mean, the one of the questions is, and this is the hard one, I mean, the work from home trend. I mean, obviously, yes. Pandemic, we're working at home, we need to. As we start getting vaccinated, reports this morning of more vaccines arriving in the country. I mean, how, do we have any sort of sense of how it's going to shift? Of are the corporates saying, is everyone back? Is it going to be a blend? I mean, Google in their results comment that they saved over $1 billion with work from home. I mean, we're not going back to the 2019 levels, I imagine.
Yeah, unlikely. So the talks that we're picking up across most corporates, including ours as well, is that people like to work from home or in the office, probably 2 to 3 days at home, 2 to 3 days in the office. That's number one. And then the setup will change. You don't have a permanent desk anymore. So it's going to be more, what they call it, quad desking.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
When you're at home, somebody else is using your space. So which means corporates will require less space from a number of tables, of desks, rather. But then the challenge is actually how much space do you need for social distancing? So will you need extra space or not? But that will be counted by people being at home. So it depends. Flexible working and hot desking.
Yeah, and we've seen some of the REITs have actually been exiting office where they can, or repurposing office buildings into other bits. I mean, as an investor, and this is obviously, you know, you're head of the listed property at Stanlib, my sense is there's probably still some pain there. You say vacancies are going to continue rising. The market itself, I mean, the index had a really good April. Are investors kind of looking through this and saying it's tough, but it's going to get tougher, but if we start looking out to, say, 2022 and the like, that there is some opportunity here and that the sector, I mean, obviously it's going to survive, but it's got some investability.
Sure. Yeah, we believe that it has been priced in. At some point, the sector was trading about 55% below NAV in the middle of last year. It's come down or it improved to about 25% below NAV. So you've seen some of the major write-downs, as much as 15% in terms of direct property values. We expect that to continue, and the office market will suffer a bit more. So maybe still about 5-10% decline in values over the next year to two on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in the price. That's number one. And you're looking at some of the corporates also having properties up for sale in the office market. As a corporate has indicated, they want to exit the office market completely. Between growth point, redefining, selling some of their properties as well. And also the fact that office markets are 20% big, but not as big compared to retail and industrial or other sectors.
Yeah, and that's an important distinction. I mean, office is one of them, and it's the one that's going to take the longer hit. But I mean, retail is there. Industrial, the logistics has been doing absolutely great guns. Kleene Ngluvo, head listed property at Stanlib. Sir, appreciate your early morning time.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Orbvest Diversified Holdings number 4. This will invest you into a range of Orbvest investments offering instant diversification. For more information, contact orbvest.com. Orbvest SA, authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. Again, I mentioned tomorrow, May the 4th, is our first birthday. We've got a bunch of different guests. We're going to do a slightly different show looking back at the the year of our first show. And we will be streaming it live. You will find that on the MoneyWeb website, live streamed from 6:30 a.m. Our poll today, as chatting with Keelan, their office space remains under pressure. There is still some uncertainty and some pain ahead. But my question is there some opportunity perhaps for those prepared for maybe some risk and a bit of a wait? Options, absolutely. Maybe I'm nibbling, watching cautiously, or perhaps just not for you. You'll find the poll on our Twitter account and our LinkedIn account at MoneyWeb. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available from 7 a.m. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie, Kodora, Nicole, Matapela, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown, and this is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.